The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers, stat!
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Knocked out partially by Martinez. An evasive move around Duncan Emmy. Went hurtling in the boards. Cut off by Weber with a drive. He shoots and scores. Weber. Shea Weber on the power play. And it's 1-0 Montreal.
Oh, my goodness. Canadians radio. I don't know how to feel about this one, Mark. I don't know whether to feel happy that Vegas, who beat the Avalanche, got really embarrassed. I mean, this is a humiliating loss for Vegas. You've got a Montreal team that of the 16 teams that were in the playoffs this year, they were the worst of all 16 by a wide margin. And yet, here they are going to the Stanley Cup Finals. What a scene in Montreal last night as thousands of people outside celebrating Montreal's first return to the Stanley Cup since Patrick Waugh was their goaltender in 1993. Think about that drought for the greatest hockey franchise of them all. So, are you happy that Vegas lost, or are you kind of upset because maybe it makes the Avalanche look even worse? How'd you lose to this team?
Yeah, no, I'm actually happy they lost. I mean, you know how hockey, especially hockey, 7-game series, team gets hot at the right time, team gets confidence at the right time. I got to believe, and I got to believe there's a certain amount of kind of exhale, if you will, after Vegas comes back down against Minnesota and ends up finding a way to get to a game 7 and win that.
Well, they were up 3-1 in that series and let Minnesota back in to play a couple of extra games.
Okay, yeah, so they come back and they win that in game 7, and then, you know, and then being against Colorado and knowing that Colorado was, you know, their kind of number one foe, if you will, and coming back and finding a way to win 4 straight in that one, in that series, I almost feel like there's a bit of an exit. We're playing the worst team that's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you never were able to recapture it. Now, obviously, the Montreal's playing, you know, really, really good hockey, but I mean, it does feel that way to me. Like a little bit of a, oh, good. Thank goodness that's over, you know?
It's over, all right. Next on the Morning Brew.
Two inbounds quickly for George. Gets it about 60 feet away. George at the both court logo puts it up. Put it in! Paul George out the window! He does it every pregame, makes one of those before the game, and it all pays off as George goes glass to finish the third.
Clippers radio, Paul George bouncing back from gagging on those 2 free throws at the end of game 2. A near triple-double for him as the Clippers beat Phoenix, who got Chris Paul back, 106-92. How about what the Clippers are trying to do? They're already the first team in NBA playoff history to lose both Game 1 and Game 2 and come back to win in the first 2 rounds of the playoffs. Now they're trying to do it a third time after falling behind 2-0 in this series. Think they can do it?
No, I don't. I don't personally think they're going to do it. I just think the Suns are playing so good. I just think they have so many different weapons. So I think the Suns will bounce back.
Yeah, I think Phoenix was maybe a little bit off with getting Chris Paul back. He sat out about a week, and they just seemed like they were a little bit out of sync. But I would expect them to bounce back strong in Game 4 coming up tomorrow night. Next on the Morning Brew.
RELAX. Relax.
All right, so this is an interesting note put out by Pro Football Talk. So if Aaron Rodgers thinks that there's no way the Packers are going to trade him this year, there is a way for him to still make money this year and not play. Remember yesterday we mentioned about how players can opt out by July 2nd? Well, if you opt out, you still get paid. And so if Aaron Rodgers opts out, now it's a decision he can't walk back. Once you've opted out, you're out.
Right.
But if he does so, he would not forfeit the $11.5 million in unearned signing bonus for 2021. Also, he would still receive the payments on the almost $7 million roster bonus that he earned in March. So that's about $18 million he would still get if he opts out. But if he opts out, he can't play at all.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see the money thing being a concern. Like that doesn't feel the way he's going. Like this feels personal. Like he wants out and he's going to prove a point. This isn't a guy that doesn't want to play football, right?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, I just don't see him. I don't see him looking at that money going. And again, like we talked about the other day, once he signs a new deal, once he gets traded, he wants a new deal, and he gets that new deal. I mean, you're gonna make money. You're not losing money. Aaron Rodgers is not gonna lose money. Even if he walks away from a bunch of money, he'll make it all, and then some back.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Well, see you later.
So the Pittsburgh Steelers released 6-time Pro Bowl guard David DeCastro, released with a non-football injury designation. Then they turned around and agreed to terms with former Pro Bowl guard Trey Turner on a 1-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
DeCastro did say that he needs ankle surgery, but this feels like it was a salary cap move. How much football does David DeCastro have left in him, and should George Payton be reaching out?
I think that David DeCastro, it depends on what that ankle looks like. I'm assuming it's some type of cleanup that he needs to get on
bone
his ankle.
Spurs, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not theoretically a big deal. Like you could get those removed and I get those removed on Monday and play on Sunday. So, I think that for him, you know, you've got a little bit of time here, but I don't think it's a big deal. I think the guy's an outstanding football player, obviously, 6-time Pro Bowler. I think he's got plenty of football left in him. So yeah, he would be a guy that would give you a ton of options. He'd be a guy that automatically comes in and is probably, you know, right there as your best offensive lineman.
Oh, right away. Best offensive lineman.
Yeah, DeCastro.
Even better than Bolsey?
Yes. DeCastro's a straight up stud. So
no, my zone is GB zone.
He did say.
Can you imagine if GB let him in the GB zone?
Oof, I don't know. Has he ever let him?
I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
Has he ever let anybody into the GB zone?
I don't.
What's
it
like in the GB zone?
I don't know.
I would love to know what it's like in the GB zone.
I have a feeling that, you know, one, it's cordoned off with those velvet ropes. Like, you know, there's a bouncer there. And then you gotta walk through, it's like the ripped up kind of paper. You can't really see in there, and you gotta walk through it. And then you're in the zone.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Cecil Lammy's always in the zone. He'll join us coming up next.